Every election cycle, we try to bring you as many candidates running for local, state, and federal office as we can. Well, we're going to have one more coming up in the next hour. But in the meantime, each week we'll bring you as many as we can between now and election day. If you'd like to hear from somebody in particular, let us know. We'll reach out to them. That being said, joining us now is Sarah McMillan. She is running for District 1 on the Wichita School Board, USD 259. That's the seat currently held by Diane Albert. Sarah is a military family life consultant and a course instructor at Brown Mackey College. Sarah, thank you for joining us. It's nice to have you on the show. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Those are really old, though, on my resume.
Well, it's what I found. So
I appreciate it.
You know, it's, I was looking. I was like, okay, where is it? That's what I found.
I own a small private practice for psychotherapy.
Oh, okay. Well, Phil needs some of that. So before you leave, I'll flip behind the board there.
There we go.
I'll run the board. You can take Phil. We've got a couch over in Tony's office.
That's cool.
You can give him a free consultation, and he can, you know, cry for 20 minutes or so.
You're going to probably need about 30 minutes.
That's okay. I'm sure people think the same thing about me. So let's start with what prompted this? Why did you decide to run for office?
Well, education is extremely important to me. As you can see, like I've taught at elementary, middle school, high school, college, both the community college level and the university level. I have gotten my PsyD, Doctor of Psychology. It's just, we need a well-educated community. Our children need education, and I want to make sure that we protect that.
You're a registered Republican, and yet you're running against a fellow Republican, an incumbent. Were you unhappy with Diane's performance in office? And why run against a sitting Republican?
Well, I've just heard from different people within the community that they felt like maybe they didn't have quite as much access to the board or their voices weren't as heard. And I just thought I would throw my hat in there and see if maybe I couldn't be that person for them.
Fair enough. Nice for someone who's never run for office. That was a very nice non-political, non-answer way not to attack your opponent, which is fine. I mean, you've obviously had some training, so that's good. So you obviously didn't have the opportunity to vote in favor of the bond. But I will ask, had you been on the board, would you have voted for the first bond? Looks like they're looking to do a bond in November. If you were on the board, would you support the next bond?
As for the first bond, I don't know all the details of that, so I don't know where my vote fully would have been. However, for one coming up, with the lack of funds that are going to be coming in, I know some have been released back into it for certain programs. If there was the right accountability and it was going to the correct programs that were in need, I would absolutely vote for it.
So do you consider, now keeping in mind that it is a tax increase.
Right.
Do you think that that's worth it considering their academic achievements, considering the fact that we've had, and we'll get to performance here in a few, but do you still think it's worth it considering?
Well, considering that we are removing funding that is coming in, or there is that possibility, and we're trying to have that pushback.
How so? You mean from the federal government? They've already filled that.
I just saw that go through. Okay. But if we're looking at trying to push more funding back to the local area and not relying on federal as much, then we need to have that coming from somewhere.
Okay. That one we'll disagree on,
yes.
But that's okay. So right now in Wichita Public Schools, just 19% of students are proficient in reading. Even worse, 16% are proficient in math. That means that more than 8 out of 10 are not at grade level on basic subjects. How would you propose to fix that?
Well, I think maybe this might be a disagreement for some other people as well. But from my time within schools, I've noticed that if we're not meeting their basic needs, if they're coming to school hungry, they don't know where they're going to sleep at night, they're exposed to violence at home, and they don't have any mental health support, they're not going to perform. They're not going to be at that capacity to learn or retain information. So we have to find a way to meet those needs and create an environment of safety so that they can learn.
So, but is that the school district's responsibility to do that? And how would you pay for that then?
Well, that would be some of those things that you'd want to look at as far as where is all of our funding going? Is there programs that aren't necessary and are unneeded that we could pull money from that? Are there things that could be picked up on? The community-centered approaches with education that have become successful in some areas have been able to pick up that point and create this space where it's not just like the school or taxes that are paying it, but the community comes together and they donate to the school. They help fund those programs. Other community organizations come in.
So doing it not with taxpayer dollars, but rather with public private partnership.
That would be my ideal.
I see in there, we would agree because you're not using taxpayer dollars. So I would agree with you in that regard. Wichita Public Schools reported a record high graduation rate of 84% for the class of 2024, which is a 5% increase from the previous year. Graduation rate has risen nearly 14% since 2018. So the graduation rates are going up. And yet, two-thirds of 10th graders scored in the bottom level on the state math tests in 24. Amongst black students, nearly 80% scored in the bottom level. So do you question any of that at all? Is there something? Because it seems like the math isn't working out. They're graduating kids that aren't meeting basic requirements, that can't do basic math, and yet they're still graduating them. Do you see a problem with that?
I want to know how many of them were actually on learning plans, because I know learning plans do impact on what criteria has to be met in order for graduation. I'd also want to know exactly if there have been changes on how they do the data points for graduation rate.
There has been, yes. They've changed, and they've changed the standards, basically. So Basically what it seems like is they're tweaking the tests in order to make it easier to graduate. Do you believe in holding people back, holding students back if they haven't met minimum standards?
If they're provided all that opportunity and it's not a learning disability issue,
right.
Then they need to be able to have that foundation before they move on.
So if they're not meeting basic standards, they should be held back.
Yes.
I would agree with you there. Let's see. I don't want to keep repeating as much as I can. Kansas has seen significant rises in K-12 spending with a 53% increase over the last 10 years. And yet math reading scores on standardized tests, including NAEP scores, have either stagnated or declined. Do you think Wichita Public Schools are adequately funded?
So I do not like a standardized test.
Sure.
As someone who
I think everyone would agree.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's the only standard that we have. It's what we have to work with.
That's what needs to be adjusted.
Sure.
Because that is.
But unfortunately, that's the only way we have to metric. So unless you get the legislature or the school board to fix it. But since that's the metric we have, do you think they're adequately funded?
See, I would advocate for changing those metrics.
Sure.
And then if those metrics were a true representation of what is going on within the classroom and with that student, then that would give a clearer picture about what funding is needed. As someone who's always kind of been within the school system, I can tell you that some schools are overfunded, and then same within that same district, some schools are severely underfunded. I've been in within that same small district where one school has closets full of paper and tools and everything. And in another school that the teachers are begging for paper to be sent in and they can't even make copies on their own. And it's out of that same funding source. So every school needs to be funded. So I do not believe every school is probably adequately funded.
Do you believe in do you like the idea of consolidating within a district that says maybe instead of each school buying their own, maybe consolidating through the entire district so that everything is purchased at a hub and therefore then we can combine resources that way?
Well, and I have seen where that has been successful. And where once they send in their request, the only problem that ever has happened with having a hub center is the delay in getting what they need. And so if there was a way to make sure there was no delay with getting the needs that the teacher needs for that classroom, I think that I have seen where it's been very successful.
Oh, good. Do you mind if we stick around through the break?
Sure.
We'll take a quick break and then we'll continue our conversation with Sarah McMillan, candidate for USD 259 District 1. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
Hey, you lucky people out there. This is Kevin Sorbo. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show with John Whitmer on KNSF. Have a wonderful, God bless day.
Your phone call is welcome at 869-1330. This is the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
With us still is Sarah McMillan. She's a candidate for USD 259, Wichita School Board District 1. Sarah, so let's talk. back to it. Last year, the Kansas legislature passed a bill that gave them a pay raise. And part of the bill allowed school board members who are not paid to get a pay raise, basically, so that school board members who traditionally do not receive pay can now. Some districts are therefore considering paying board members. They would be paid through the general fund. So in other words, taxpayer dollars that would or could be going into the classroom would be diverted to pay salaries for board members. Do you support paying board members? And if it passed, would you accept a pay raise or pay for board?
Want the money to go to the schools, honestly. I feel like that we need to make sure people who are in this are in it for the schools and not for their own personal gain. I don't believe that. I support that.
I tend to agree with you on that one. USC 259 Superintendent Kelly Bielfeld just received another pay raise. He already received a 3% pay raise as part of the standard pay increase given to all teachers. Considering, again, the college and career readiness scores, the NAEP scores, recent graduate scores, some of the other issues that have come up, the failed bond, the issue at one of the schools recently where they caught a teacher who was changing grades. Do you believe that Bielfeld deserved the second pay raise?
From the information that you've provided me, it does not sound like it. It would be my preference that that funding go to the classrooms, to the teachers, the paras, the teacher assistants.
What about a, by the way, Phil, my wife just texted and said that was a lady. It's a classic and I should not be picking on you for playing it. So, in which case, let me take that back and say great intro music, Phil. What about school choice? What are your thoughts on school choice and parental choice in education?
Oh, I know I disagree with a lot of people on this too.
Well, it is a core plank of the Republican Party platform. So,
well, as someone who has had experience being homeschooled, homeschooling my kids, having my kids go to private school, having them go to public school, I am seeing rural schools really getting hurt with school choice, and not because of not being able to provide adequate education for them, but because there's better opportunities for sports in other schools, or there's this in other schools. And so then we are seeing where these rural schools are having to consolidate or are shutting down, and kids are being bused an hour or more to get to their new school that they have to go to. And then they're not having as many resources, or we're finding schools that, like, especially in northern Kansas, that they can't get teachers because of a lot of that stuff going on. So they have open positions, but they're going to go to different schools where they...
So isn't that the market? Isn't that parental choice? I mean, so we have to use taxpayer dollars to keep a public school open because parents don't want their kids to go there. So we should force kids to go there because, oh, well, the school might...
But who does that hurt? What about the kids and parents who maybe don't want their kids to go, that don't have access to means and aren't able to go anywhere else?
That's why you allow the taxpayer dollar to follow the students. So therefore, then those kids could afford to go to private school. I mean, case in point, the $7,000 is the average cost right now for private school in Wichita. You know what the taxpayer funding for public schools in Wichita is? $16,000. It's more than twice the cost of private school. So it costs you twice as much to send a kid to public school in Wichita as it does to private school. I could send two kids to private Catholic school for what I pay one kid to go to public school in Wichita. So right now, you literally are spending more in a public school than you are in a private school education in Wichita.
Well, a lot of those private schools they're utilizing public school resources for special education and servicing IEPs.
A few, but not many.
And I mean, that's where a lot of money
has to go. We can tweak that. But by and large, ultimately what it comes down to is it should be up to the parents, though. But okay, I get what you're coming from. How about the Supreme Court recently sided with parents who want to opt their children out of LGBTQ books in schools? Do you agree with that decision?
Who's going to be monitoring and deciding that? That is my other thing. So,
well, it would be monitored by the if that book is in the curriculum for that day, a parent would be able to say, I don't want my child to read that day. They can do independent study. They can go to the library. I don't want my child reading that book. Do you agree with that decision?
I I would say it depends on what the content of that is supposed what is going on and how that is going
so
to
who
be addressed.
Would, so you don't think the parent should have that right to opt out?
I don't know that it's necessarily a situation where every single day that we're trying to figure out what books are going to be presented in what areas and is that actually going to have specific content. When I'm a HASA, and this goes, I know this isn't exactly what you asked, but I see more people pushing for that when I have known of situations where there have been teachers and coaches who were sexually assaulting kids and they were being supported because they were Republicans and no one wanted to remove them from their position.
Okay.
So if we're going to try to safeguard our kids, we need to safeguard them from actual threats.
Two quickies. Do you support the idea of keeping boys out of girls' sports?
There needs to be clear linear decisions. If this is that sport, that is that sport.
No boys in girls' sports. Gotcha. If folks are interested, I know I'm up against it. If folks are interested, they can find you at Sarah McMillan on Facebook, correct?
That is correct.
Sarah, thank you. Best
thank
of luck
you.
To
I
you.
I appreciate it.